Monster Jam is coming to U.S. Bank Stadium on February 15th, and if you correctly predict the winner of today's news quiz at 8:35, Sam, Brian Miller, or Max Reimer,
Sam,
you will be in the running to get a pair of tickets to go see that Monster Jam at U.S. Bank Stadium on February 15th.
Pick me.
It's a great deal. Just use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter to make your pick, or you can email it to me, AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com. We will play the news quiz at 8:35.
A little bit before that, we have a couple of things that we will get to. What will 2020 taste like? I'm not kidding. Plus, time for Mitty, we're going to dive into. Drew and I spent some time with this off the air last week, but XFL makes its own rules with focus on speed. So we'll toss some of these XFL rules out there and
awesome.
See what the roundtable thinks.
There's some neat rules, some interesting rules coming with the XFL, which starts right after the week after the Super Bowl this year. Joining us now, as he does every Friday, Representative Tom Emmer. Good morning, sir. You excited for the XFL?
Well, it kind of reminds me of maybe next we're going to have the under 6 foot professional basketball league. Maybe that'll come next. We'll see.
Did you watch the XFL when it came around when they had that one short lived season?
If I remember right, I think I probably watched when Herschel Walker played for the the New York or New Jersey Generals.
That was the USFL.
Wait, which one are we talking about then?
Yeah, I think that was the USFL. If memory serves me correctly, I think that was the USFL. The XFL was the one started by Vince McMahon with, from the WWF at the time, WWE now. And they made a huge deal about it, about how it was going to be, this brand new, exciting football league. And they had like six or eight teams. And the first weekend, massive ratings. Everybody tuned in. And then it just got less and less and less. And by week four, it was pretty much dead.
I think I've just proven once again that my pop culture references end in like 1984. 85.
That's right. I forget that every once in a while, Tom. Thanks for reminding me. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to comment on this the story that was floating around earlier this week. I saw it on the Hill. There's some ethics complaints involving the NRCC and the use of trackers around the Capitol, and give you an opportunity to comment on that story.
Well, it's a classic shiny object that Democrats have become so prone to. It's a completely frivolous action. It's purely political theater at its best. And really what it is, Andrew, it's an attempt again to distract from the fact that these new socialist Democrats in the House of Representatives have not done anything they said they were going to do. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle said they were going to try and do something about the cost of prescription drugs, that they were going to try to do some really important things when it came to Americans' lives. And instead, all they have been focused on is their obsession with undoing the people's will in the 2016 election and their hatred of Donald J. Trump to the point where they don't care what it is. They want him out of office. And this is all they focused on. So it's just another attempt to distract people from what, and by the way, they don't like being asked, why aren't you listening to your constituents? Why aren't you trying to get the work that they sent you here to do, that you said you were going to come here to do? Why aren't you getting it done? And then I think the other one that they really don't want to answer is, why are you defending Soleimani? Don't you think Soleimani, who was actively putting together an offensive attack on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, he's an enemy combatant that is guilty of killing way too many Americans, and you're defending him? So it's just an attempt to distract, Andy.
Representative Tom Emmer, we did have some major movement, actually, in Congress beyond the stuff that dominates the headlines. Talk a little bit about the USMCA and the trade deal with China as well.
Well, we'll do it in reverse order based on your question. Thursday, this past Thursday, yesterday, the president and the Chinese finally signed phase one of the American-Chinese trade agreement. It's been a long time coming, and I think people are going to find out the fight was worth having. This phase one agreement includes a commitment by China that it's going to make a substantial purchases of U.S. goods and services right away. They pledged to increase imports of American goods by at least $200 billion. They're going to purchase and import on average at least $40 billion of U.S. Food, agricultural, and seafood products. It's over the next 2 years annually. This could actually total, I think, over the next 2 years would be about $80 billion. So just think about how important this is going to be for our ag community. And there's a whole bunch of other things that are involved as well. China's agreed to end its longstanding practice of forcing or pressuring our companies to transfer their technology to Chinese companies. And there's a multitude of non-barrier barriers to U.S. ag and seafood products that are addressed. And in addition to currency manipulation, that's also addressed. So it's a great first step that I think, especially here in Minnesota, with our ag community and the businesses that are dependent on trade, the jobs that are dependent on trade in Minnesota are going to see immediate benefits in the first quarter, first 6 months of this year. And then, of course, yesterday, the Senate finally had a chance to pass the new trade agreement with our neighbors, Canada and Mexico, that... this is the updating of the NAFTA agreement that the president said was never very fair to the United States. This agreement stands to be a major benefit to dairy, which obviously is important to us in Minnesota, but incredibly important in the district that I represent. Stearns County is the largest dairy county in Minnesota, and under the agreement, Canada is going to increase the dairy products that are going to be allowed into Canadian markets, and they're eliminating a pricing scheme that has boxed out our dairy producers from their markets for years. Well, since the last agreement was done. And it goes way beyond dairy. I could keep going on, guys, but let's put it this way. It's taken 2 years. This administration said we got to think of Americans first. We got to make sure these deals are fair, not just free, but they're fair for American producers. And these are great step forward that hopefully we're going to start reaping the benefits immediately.
Can you talk a little bit about the tariffs? I mean, when President Trump early in his administration started talking about, you know, instituting tariffs to try to combat some of the trade imbalances, myself, a lot of conservatives were very, very against it, did not like the idea of utilizing tariffs. But it appears, you know, at least from somewhat of a layman's perspective, it appears that these tariffs have been effective at getting China to the table, at getting them to negotiate on things where otherwise we didn't necessarily have a whole lot of leverage with them. Did the tariffs serve as essential leverage that that helped get the Chinese to this point where we could actually rework some of these deals?
Clearly it did. And Andrew, I'm not ashamed to say I was one of those people that had some major concerns. In fact, I think when this all started, you know, this is the way the administration has chosen to handle it. I think there might have been some other approaches. I think today we need to commend the administration. I mean, you remember 2 years ago where we were hearing people talk about Smoot-Hawley all the time. You know, this is going to be the beginning of the end.
The
wrong way to do it. If tariffs are your long-term policy, clearly that's a problem. But this administration used tariffs as a tool, not as a policy, as a tool. If you are not going to treat our producers fairly, our great American workers and the companies that they're producing for, if you're not going to treat them fairly in your markets, guess what? You don't get access to ours. And for far too many years, probably since the early 70s when these other economies had recovered from World War II, there just always was an imbalance. Everybody gets to play in the U.S. market with low entry fees, but those that were competing with us figured out, hey, we'll just put up both economic, you know, money tariffs, and we will also put up non-economic. You know, we'll say that your dairy is there are health issues or concerns, or your poultry, whatever it is. That's what this administration went at, and I think in hindsight, now that we can see how this has worked out, it's not a policy. Tariffs are not a long-term policy, but this administration used them as an effective negotiating tool, as we can see by these two agreements.
Yeah, and I think one thing that a lot of people sort of underestimated when talking about a quote-unquote trade war with China, when talking about the what sort of leverage we might have or might not have, China needs our food. They cannot feed their people without us. So, you know, the Trump administration appeared to realize that they could get some leverage utilizing tariffs, and that over time, you know, this would work to our benefit. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, you know, the agreement's in place now, and that is a good thing. Phase one, anyway. Now we get to see the effects of this agreement and if it's actually going to deliver on what was promised.
That's right. But let's make another point for those that would like to change the foundational policy of the United States of America. For those who don't believe in free markets, this actually is proof that free markets are the way to go, because while China is a top down, you know, this is a government controlled operation, what it shows is the power of people that are allowed to create and compete and grow an economy absolutely has an advantage over government-controlled, socialist, you call it whatever you want. They can produce, but we can always do better. And at the end of the day, if you want to do business with the United States, you're going to have to treat Americans fairly in the marketplace.
Representative Tom Emmer, as always, great talking with you, sir. And hopefully we'll be able to chat again next Friday. Have a good weekend.
Well, I don't know. We might all be snowed in for the next month based on what I'm hearing.
Yeah, you wouldn't complain about that, though.
No, not at all. You guys have a great weekend. Go skiing.
Take care.
All right, coming up, XFL makes its own rules with focus on speed. The XFL's eight teams opened up training camp this past week, and will kick off their 10-week regular season on February 8th. And we'll talk about whether or not these ideas are good ones. Is this going to excite you to go and watch an XFL game? It's coming up next on Justice and.
All right, you got one more segment to get your picks in for the Friday News Quiz. We have tickets to Monster Jam happening at U.S. Bank Stadium on February 15th.
Wow.
For the, that was good.
It was something.
I thought it was amazing. I thought that was like best radio performance I've ever seen.
Now I'm questioning it, because if Sam liked it, it probably means it made me look bad.
Yeah. You should definitely question it.
A little cocaine or something.
What day is it?
February 15th.
Is that a Sunday?
Is that a Sunday?
No, it's a Saturday.
Saturday.
Doesn't have the same ring.
Too many syllables. Too many syllables for Saturday. And I've got some breaking news, John. Came in during the break. I'm not going to. I know we're going to talk about the XFL in this segment, so I don't want to derail it too far, and I know this is going to affect you dramatically.
This is one of those moments, by the way, just real quick. It's one of those moments where I honestly don't know which way it's going.
I know.
I don't know if it's going to be like silly, or is this going to be like super
Morrissey
serious.
Or an assassination?
Yeah. Morrissey, Depeche Mode, Star Wars, or NASCAR? What is it?
A new ordinance goes into effect today in the city of Minneapolis it's nice to finally see them tackle real problems. That is banning the sale of new animal furs in effect today.
Is that a problem?
I don't know.
I know of one.
Who buys furs?
I know there's one shop that sells fur that I know of. Brian, you might know which one I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's the same street as Acme.
I was just going to say, that's exactly the place I know, that Rhythmic Fur place.
That is the only place that I can think of that this might impact. But that's like their only thing they sell, I think.
I think they might
sell some used.
Somebody got mad at them.
This will just effectively put them out of business.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. I can't imagine. I don't know what else they sell. But
the government does that a lot.
Yeah, they're good at
that. They like to
dress it up.
Yeah.
You know? With restaurants, you know, instead of saying, hey, we just want you to close your restaurant, instead they do a 2-week minimum notice, they do a $15 minimum wage without a tip credit, that kind of thing. They dress it up. You know, they don't just say, we hate your business.
Weird. Well, so much for my fur. I was really looking forward to this.
Now you're going to have to get it in Bloomington like everybody else.
Right.
Your cat's cosplay is going to suffer.
Bloomington has a pretty hot fur game. Let me tell you, as a resident of Bloomington.
I've seen a movie called Hot Fur Game. It was all right.
We can talk about that one in movie talk. From ESPN. Thank you. The XFL makes its own rules with focus on speed. All right, so.
Speed. That could be a very misleading.
Especially with all our cocaine talk.
Yeah. Right.
But that'd be amazing if all the athletes were
not surprised me if Vince McMahon was just shooting people up at speed and sending them out there.
That's what the XFL should do. They should encourage drug use.
Oh, yes, I
performance
love that.
Enhancing.
That would make it amazing.
Enhance all of the performances.
Yes.
Like Popeye with drugs.
It's like, okay, we got the running back for the Las Vegas, whatever their team is, 6'4", 225 pounds, currently on.
Yeah, cocaine. Here's four lines of cocaine.
Here's the idea. The players don't know what drugs, though, so maybe the running back's on ecstasy, you know? Maybe your wide receiver just took some mushrooms and he's like counting the blades of grass in the end zone.
I think I really want to score a touchdown right now. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy here.
How do I know what a touchdown to you is the same as a touchdown to me, man?
If they were to list the drugs out as a statistic, how sad would it be if you had the fun drugs, you had some players on cocaine, and then you had some players, you had like one kicker who's on like 14 antidepressants. And that's what they list.
Oh, Dan Bailey got the Prozac.
I know.
Oh, man.
I know that the likelihood of me making this kick is very small, but I'm just going to try anyways.
Mark Johnson, BYU. I'm on a cocktail of 14 different things
to help me cope with life. In many, many years.
I'm suddenly stuck in a moment and I can't get out of it.
Most of the on-field product for the XFL will look familiar to fans, but a two-year project to innovate some aspects of the game led to a number of significant changes. These include a kickoff designed to discourage touchbacks and increase the likelihood of a return.
You mean the most dangerous play in football that the NFL is trying to carve out because it causes massive concussions?
Pretty much, yeah.
There's a nuance to that, though. There's a nuance to their kickoff, though.
So the ball's going to be kicked for...
Max, Sam just did a lot.
Did I miss the line of coke that Max just did?
Well. You did. It was in my pocket.
Very serious guys here. Okay, hold on. There's nuance.
Key bumps in the corner here.
The ball will be kicked off from the 30-yard line.
Okay.
The coverage and the blocking teams will line up at the receiving team's 35 and 30-yard lines, respectively.
Okay.
Only the kicker and the returner can move until the ball is caught. So that's the nuance. I actually do like that. I'm curious to see how that plays out on the field. So nobody can move until the ball is called. So what that eliminates is the, you know,
the blockers
making the big wall, you know, the move forward, you know.
The defenders with the running start beforehand, too. And that's what the NFL, I think, has proven that actually causes the most concussion, the fact that there is momentum on both sides.
Oh, like freight trains.
Yeah. You got players barreling down the field at absolute full speed. And, you know, two players doing that running into each other, you're going to have a lot more injuries.
Mm. Doesn't this make it worse?
No. No.
How does this not make it worse?
Because they're not going to have... They're going to have the same amount of time to sort of build up the momentum, but it's going to have, they're going to reach each other a lot quicker. So they're not going to be able to reach sort of full speed, I don't think.
It'll be more about field positioning and angles than it will be like that brute speed.
Exactly.
Because what happens in the NFL as the kicking team gets their running start, the receiving team retreats automatically just to form a wedge or form a wall. So there's about 30 yards before they even make contact with each other. In this case, the guy's going to get the ball right away, and you're going to have to engage each other within 5 yards, within 10 yards. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, that actually does make sense.
I'm curious to see how this plays out, though. I like this rule so far.
Players can't leave the line of scrimmage on punts until after the kick. Any kicks that go into the end zone or out of bounds will be marked in the 35-yard line or wherever the ball went out of bounds, whichever is better for the receiving team. This idea is to discourage fair catches and coffin corner kicks while providing more incentive to go for it on fourth down.
And I think that's one of the things you're going to see a lot more of in the XFL. When you look at the data, you know, that goes into football, the sabermetrics, whatever, of football, they all say the same thing. More often than not, you should go for it on fourth down. Mm-hmm. Especially fourth and short, like fourth and four or less, fourth and three or less. But NFL teams rarely do, even though the numbers and the data and the statistics are all on their side to go for it on fourth down. They still haven't determined that the risk is greater than the potential reward. I think in the XFL, you're going to see that flip. You're going to see hardly any punts and more teams going for it on fourth down.
Three options after scoring a touchdown.
This is the weird one, and this is the one
that... Yeah, you and I went back and forth on like this a bit. So a one-point play from the two-yard line, a two-point play from the three-yard line, or a three-point play from the 10-yard line. There is no option to kick an extra point.
Love it.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
See, I almost thought that the way that they're scoring should be reversed. Like, there should be more points available.
If the closer you
are. The closer.
Your argument was that, you know, if you're on the 1 yard line, then the defenders have less to defend.
Right. Right.
Which makes it easier for them, harder.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I just don't think that bears out, though.
Yeah.
In how the game, how it actually gets played out. In theory, I understand what you're saying, but I just think in how it ends up playing out, it's tougher. It's tougher to get in from the 10 yard line than it is the 1 yard line. So.
Yeah. Plus the lack of a race car I was having a hard time with as well.
So that's part of it.
That was part of my issue. There wasn't a race car involved.
Not yet. We'll give Vince 4 weeks.
Yeah, give it some time, right?
One guy gets to drive a Honda Civic and hit whoever he wants.
I would pay so much money to watch that.
The XFL should go all in and do go the route of the Last Boy Scout.
Oh, aren't?
What is... Okay, now you have to explain.
That's a reference that only Brian and John...
Yeah, no, it was the opening of the Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans movie where...
Shane Black wrote that.
That doesn't surprise me in the least bit. Yeah, the opening of the film is a football game that's taking place, but one of the players is armed, and as they run into the end zone, he starts shooting the players coming at him. I forgot the rationale behind it, but it's all part of the story. Yeah,
it's raining and there's like no lights on the field. Which is weird. They're playing a football game in the dark.
Yeah,
it's a very strange movie.
That is not
part of the XFL. Neither is cocaine.
Not yet.
Not yet. So what do you think? With this options after scoring a touchdown, 1 point from the 2 yard line, 2 points from the three points from the 10. What do you think teams are going to do? You think I feel like everybody's just going to go for the three.
As a Vikings fan, I love the idea of nobody kicking an extra point.
Yeah, right?
That just makes me feel good.
Great point. I think you'll see a lot of coaches who are of the NFL mindset, because a lot of these guys are NFL transplants with still kind of an entrenched old school mentality, which I think will probably change over the course of an XFL season. I think you'll see a lot of them go for the 1 point play.
Okay.
For the issue of time, there's one here, shootout style overtime. Each team gets 5 single play possessions from the 5 yard line. If the game is still tied at that point, the rotating possessions will continue until there is a winner.
Which is the college rule, I believe.
This is one too, Drew, that you had talked.
It's
a variation
similar,
of that.
Modified. Oh, the 5 yard thing is different,
right? And each team getting 5 single play possessions.
Yeah.
So it's not like first
down.
Sure,
okay.
In college, you start at like 20 or 25, I forget.
And if you can
get a first down, you can get, yep. Not in this one.
This is
you got 5 plays to score.
A rule that allows 2 forward passes on 1 play.
I love this rule.
This
is my favorite.
Providing the first doesn't go past the line of scrimmage. So the purpose is to encourage creative trick plays without the risk of losing possession of a lateral or backward pass, which is a live ball if it hits the ground.
Right. And that's why I love this play, because trick plays are so much fun to watch, right? But they are very, very risky in the NFL because of that very rule.
So basically what you're saying is every time Kirk Cousins throws the ball, he always throws it behind the line of scrimmage. So all of his receivers could always throw the ball.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Pretty much, yes, exactly. So I could throw a forward pass to you, Brian, and as long as you know that did not go past the line of scrimmage, you could then circle back around and take the bomb down to Diggs, you know, in the end zone. I love it. I think that will lead to some really fun plays. I don't think that the NFL should adopt that rule. You know, they might. Who knows? You know, the NFL is certainly going to be watching this, and they adopted some rules from the last time the XFL, was around for a season. So I wouldn't be shocked at all if the NFL picks up some of these rules. But I would like that to be a significant differentiator between these two leagues.
There also is a requirement for only 1 foot to be in bounds for a possession.
That's college. College.
Yeah. And I prefer that too, by the way. So here's the question.
At least more exciting.
It's exciting.
I feel like all these rules feel like basketball.
Well, okay. Does this remind you of basketball?
Yes. And this is, before we wrap up, this is the question that I wanted to ask was, at what point does it get too gimmicky? And is there an example with in the NFL where there were things that were implemented within the past few years that were also seen as gimmicky, but ended up becoming wildly accepted and enjoyed? I mean, is there a point where it gets too gimmicky? Would you want to see the NFL grabbing on to any of these if they work?
I don't know what that point is. Yes, I mean, there's certainly going to be a point where it gets to be a little too gimmicky and it stops looking and feeling like a football game. Mm. But I don't know what that point is, and we won't know until we actually see it play out on the field.
All right, time for the Friday News Quiz. You still have just a few minutes left to let us know who you think is going to win, Sam, Max, or Brian. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter.
And everybody who makes the correct prediction will be in the running for a pair of tickets to Monster Jam happening at U.S. Bank Stadium. Final segment of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, and that means one thing and one thing only. It is time for your Friday News Quiz. Your contestants this week are all defending champions in a weird way. Max won last time he played, and last week it was a tie between Sam and Brian. So everybody's coming into this with a little bit of momentum. The three heaviest hitters of the News Quiz crowd, I think.
It's incredible.
You're going down.
It is incredible, Max. That's right.
I'm honored to be in the company of other heavy hitters.
We have 9 audio clips for your first round of the News Quiz, 3 parody songs for the second round, and 12 headlines that need to have blanks that need to be filled in. Points will be awarded for correct answers, points will be awarded for correct context, and points will be awarded at the judge's discretion for any time and for any reason. All judges' decisions are final.
Max, you're up first. Okay. Here is audio clip number 1.
So sad, so tragic for our country.
That is Nancy Pelosi. You can't mistake her. And she is talking about impeachment. And while she was talking about what a somber event it was, she was smiling and signing the impeachment letters.
Yes, with their commemorative pens.
Available on eBay.
So sad. So sorry.
Speaking of Prozac, by the way.
Audio clip number 2. This one is for Sam.
The only people on this stage who have won every single election that they've been in are the women.
That is Elizabeth Warren on the Democratic debate stage.
That
there you go.
Making a point about,
and that was the highlight of Amy Klobuchar's debate performance,
it
too.
It was, yeah. Because then at that,
well,
right
she had
after,
a pretty bad highlight, too.
Right after that quote, Amy was like, that's right.
Audio clip number 3 for Brian Miller.
Joe Biden is a rabid dog. He should be beaten to death with a stick.
Well, that was Joe Biden. And I think that was Joe Biden critiquing his critics. Who watches The Watchmen?
Yeah, it needs to be a little more specific.
I don't know any more context.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know.
Anybody know what was happening in that moment?
That was at the debate, and he was talking about North Korea.
He was asked if he would meet with North Korea without conditions, and he said, well, they once said that
Joe Biden is a rabid dog. He should be beaten to death with a stick.
Wow, they really gave Joe Biden way too much credit. He's like a rabid kitten, maybe. Jeez. I don't know. It's not that scary.
Audio clip number 4. We are back around to Max.
President Trump knew exactly what was going on. He was aware of all of my movements. I wouldn't do anything without the consent of Rudy Giuliani or the president.
That is Lev Parnas, who is dishing on Trump and his involvement with Ukraine.
Very good.
Sam, audio clip number 5.
Well, nothing says seriousness and sobriety like handing out souvenirs.
That is Mitch McConnell.
Amazing quote.
He's talking about Nancy Pelosi handing out pens with her name on them to sign the article.
The commemorative pens.
Yes.
Yeah, no bonus points, but if you said he had 25 marshmallows in his mouth, you would have been correct.
I think it was 26.
Brian Miller, audio clip number 6.
Well, nothing says...
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong button. Wrong button. Audio clip number 6.
And her name is... I'm very proud to know her, and her name is Governor Kelly. Thank you.
so cringe.
Well, that was Amy Klobuchar. And she was failing to properly identify the name of the governor of the state she was in.
Close enough. The governor of the state of Kansas, actually. Her dear friend, that she is so proud to know, Governor
which I do in public all the time at shows. We're like, oh, I love your show. I'm like, yeah, you're a thing, my buddy guy.
You also would have received an extra point for 14 marshmallows in her mouth. Max, audio clip number 7.
Democrats got to do better than what we saw tonight. There was nothing I saw tonight that would be able to take Donald Trump out, and I want to see a Democrat in the White House as soon as possible.
That is, he is a CNN contributor, and I forgot his name.
Brian, that is Van Jones.
That is correct.
I couldn't remember his name.
And he is talking about how, you know, he don't like none of the candidates.
All right, we are headline number 8 for Sam.
Senators, I attend the Senate conformity with your notice for the purpose of joining with you for the trial. I'm now prepared to take the oath.
That is Supreme Court. I can't remember his name. John Roberts.
There you go.
I almost said
You almost Klobuchar'd that one.
I did.
My good friend John. Thank you.
All right, Brian Miller, audio clip number 9.
I don't think there was any one person today that was just not good. You know, I think it was a combination of things like it typically is.
Sounds so sad.
That was Mike Zimmer, and he was talking about the Vikings' team-wide catastrophic failure in their playoff game last night.
Correct. All right, at the end of round one, Brian Miller stealing some points for a 6-point lead. Sam right behind with 5 points, Max with 4 points. Still anybody's game to be had. We have 3 parody songs, 1 for each of you. Tell us what story is being referenced in the parody songs. Max, this first one is for you.
Changes.
That's it. That's all you get.
Oh,
that's all you get.
Okay.
That's all you get.
This is about the Russian government all quitting on Vladimir Putin after some constitutional changes.
There you go.
He's going to be prime minister.
All right. Parody song number 2 for Sam.
If there were no people, then no one would see how beautiful this planet would turn out to be.
That's it. That's all you get. That's all you
if
get.
If there were no people, I barely could even hear it.
The added spaceship noises. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of remember this story. I don't know. Can I hear it one more time?
Okay.
I don't know that the song is going to help you.
If there were no people, then no one would see how beautiful this planet would turn out to be.
This is about we were talking about the UFOs or something.
Wow. Sam, did that
help you? I can't remember.
Brian? Anybody?
I'm going to jump in. Someone suggested that the planet would be better off if there were no people on it.
That is correct.
It's a climate activist.
Yeah, climate activists now that are calling for the extinction of the human species in order to save the planet.
Okay. I'm just making sandwiches.
Like, why are we even saving the planet if we're not going to be on it?
What's the point?
Yeah. Planet can save itself if it doesn't want us. There are mechanisms that it could do.
Can I leave before this next one? Since I've had the preview on my sheet.
Brian.
Yes.
Parody song number 3 is for you.
Got a candle that smells like down there.
Yeah.
Cedar, geranium, and some sort of lime.
Well,
feel free.
Gwyneth Paltrow is finally answering the question posed in 7. What's in the box? With her new candle scented after her own scent.
Yeah.
Oh. I'll be, that is as tactful as I can be on the radio.
I am surprised you were that tactful.
That was my, I'm going to call my mom.
A true professional.
I'm gonna channel my inner Sam and say, but why?
But why? Why?
Brian Miller running away with this. 8 points after 2 rounds. Max and Sam both tied with 5 points, but there are so many points to be had in the headline round. We've got multiple headlines with multiple blanks, so don't buzz in until you're sure. Because you might mess it all up.
Don't tell me what to do.
All right, there are three different points. 3 points available for headline number 1. Blank and blank plan to move to Los Angeles, but not until blank.
Meghan Markle and Prince Harry plan to move to Los Angeles, but not until Trump is not president anymore.
That's correct.
Boom.
3 points for Sam. Headline number two, Canadian officials accidentally send out blank.
Sam, nuclear warning text. Something about a nuclear.
Nuclear incident alert.
Yeah, that's nuclear right. incident.
Yep, yep, yep.
2 points available for three. Blank is the latest canceled celebrity after being seen in a suite at blank.
Sam.
I heard Sam.
Oh, yes. Vince Vaughn is the latest canceled celebrity after being seen talking to Donald Trump.
That is correct.
At the national championship game.
Two blanks in this one. Blank and blank are the latest Democrats to drop.
Brian. I heard Brian.
The latest Democrats are Julian Castro and Cory Booker.
You got one right. You got one right on that one. Anybody want to guess the second one?
There's just so many names. I can't keep track of all of them. Yeah.
Cory Booker and Marianne Williamson.
I thought she dropped out between Castro and...
Yeah.
I literally forget
Castro
that she
was
exists
last
every
week.
All right. Headline number five. Is it mine? Is it mine?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Headline number five. Blank agrees to buy $200 billion in new U.S. goods as part of new trade.
Brian.
Yep.
Headline number six. Not a single person on Jeopardy knew who Blank... Sam.
Adam Schiff. I actually got that from something that Max tweeted.
Rubbing it in.
Wow.
That's great, Sam.
Hoisted on your own petard. Stings and birds. Headline number seven. Studio executives say that Blank
Sam.
Will never be a woman.
James Bond.
Correct.
That is correct. All right, we'll do a little midway update here. Sam with 13, Brian with 9, is Max getting shut out in the headline round with only 6. Headline number 8, twins land.
Max.
Sam.
Max.
Josh Donaldson.
Yes.
On a 4-year, $92 million deal.
I think wasn't it just $90
million? No, Max is right. I'm giving him a bonus point for that one.
Is everybody ready? This is a big one. You got 4 available here.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, no.
Headline number 9. Timberwolves trade blank and blank Max. To blank for blank.
Oh, this is where Max catches up.
I think it was
Timberwolves
Max.
Have traded Jeff Teague to the Atlanta Hawks for...
That is correct. Two so far.
Trae Young.
I'm cheering for you here.
Robert Covington. No, he's already on the team. I don't know.
Nope.
All right, you got two of them right.
Anybody else?
Anybody want to jump in?
Didn't know the Hawks were the team from Atlanta. Don't watch basketball.
Sometimes
don't watch any basketball. Yeah.
All right. So you've got Trevion Graham, right?
Trevion Graham.
Why don't you handle these? I'm gonna get these wrong.
They traded him to the Atlanta Hawks for Alan Crabb or Crabby. I am not sure.
Oh, Crabby.
An extra E on the end.
It's Crab.
Why is there an E on the end?
We're gonna go with Crabby because it's funnier.
It's right.
Headline number 10. Blank will sing the national
anthem.
Oh, I have no idea. Why did I say that?
No clue.
I was thinking of the Bond theme song with
Billie Eilish. Yeah. Yeah.
Sam. Adele.
Blank will sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. Anybody?
Max. The Zach Brown Band.
That is.
I was going to say that was true.
Sorry. That is incorrect.
I also just threw out a random artist.
Demi Lovato.
No. Oh, I didn't know she made it back.
Is she the donut liquor?
No, that's Ariana Grande. No, she was the drugs. Rehab.
I thought we canceled her though.
Yeah, I thought she was canceled too.
She was making fun of somebody else's like mental disorder.
Mm. All right, headline number 11. Purple haze in Arizona sky caused Max. By blank.
The Vikings.
Purple haze in Arizona sky
right.
caused by
smoke
blank.
From the wildfires.
Oh, nope. That was a good guess, though.
I was. I felt good about the guess.
It was a marijuana farm.
Oh, wow.
Why was that make purple?
All of the artificial light. Too much artificial light being used to cultivate the marijuana, or so I was told.
You seem like an expert.
Final headline. All right, there are 6 points available here, and they are not blanks. Final headline, 6 points available. It is anybody's game at this point. The 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees have been announced. Name them.
Sam. Depeche Mode.
That's one.
Survivor Friends.
I don't know any of the others. The Smiths?
Nope.
I don't know. Name John Band.
Guesses?
No idea.
Anybody want to take some stabs at it?
Max.
No, I shall, I shall lose with dignity.
Yeah, and with that, we will declare Sam your winner with 14 points, Brian with 9, Max with 10. Good game, everybody. Very well played. Everybody who correctly predicted Sam, keep an eye on your email or your Twitter mentions. We will contact you if you are the winner of the U.S. Bank Stadium tickets.
Our friendship earned me that point.
And by the way, it was Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, the Doobie Brothers, Depeche Mode, Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex.
Nice.
I'm really glad T-Rex is finally getting in there. That is way overdue.
And Depeche Mode. Sam, what'd you learn today?
Around 6:40, I learned that the Russian government has quote-unquote resigned, which effectively ensures that Putin's going to retain all control. Around 7:30, I learned about the northern Minnesota plow drivers in St. Louis County going on strike in the middle of this big snowstorm heading the Minnesota's way today. Around 8 a.m., we were joined by Tom Emmer, and I learned his opinion on USMCA and the China trade deal. If you missed any of those moments on the show today or any of our shows this week, you can check out all hours of the show and find our podcast by searching for Justice and Drew on the iHeart Radio app.
Brian Miller, where's your new open mic night happening?
Yes, Red Menace Comedy is back every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock at Devil's Advocate at 1070 Nicollet Mall. A great new location, still a free show every Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Big storm hit coming our way. Everybody be safe out there today. Try to stay warm and drive careful. Movie Talk is making its return, so keep an eye on the iHeartRadio app. We'll have that posted a little bit later.
And of course, on Monday's show, we'll talk with our DC correspondent Andrew Langer and Jason Lewis. Have a great weekend. Everybody be safe.
I don't want nobody feeling nothing. Open up the door. I'll tell myself, do you hear me?